18th century, a colonist began writing a manuscript that summarized the political unrest of his time. He produced a startling declaration read aloud in a political hall in Philadelphia. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Thomas Jefferson's words express the overwhelming desire of the colonial citizens, political freedom for those oppressed by England. Today, more than two centuries separate us from those discussions at summer of 1776. It is important that U.S. citizens ponder those words to remember the origins of this nation, a declaration for freedom for the politically bound. Every year, early in July, Americans remember the Declaration of Independence and the war that led to our political freedom. In the late first century of the Christian age, a physician began writing a manuscript that summarized the ministry of Jesus. Luke recorded a startling declaration that Jesus spoke in a Jewish synagogue in the obscure town of Nazareth. Now Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the remaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he wrote up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to tell them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled, even as you heard it being read." Luke's document expressed the overwhelming desire of every person since the fall in the garden, freedom for those oppressed by sin. Right. Today, nearly two millennia separate us from the events recorded in Luke's gospel. So it is important for Christians to ponder those first century words to remember the origins of our faith, the declaration of freedom for every person bound by sin. Jesus gave us an expression of worship to help us remember his declaration of independence and his war that led to our spiritual freedom. As you partake of the bread, remember the body of Jesus crucified for your freedom. As you drink the cup, remember the blood of Jesus poured out for your eternal liberty. Let us partake of this bread. Let us partake of this juice. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise
God.
Praise God.
Ravaging the world and the devil's use of it to bind and enslave humanity to their bad habits, Jesus comes on the scene to break us and free from the chains and set us free from the curse of sin. Set us free from bondage and slavery and our twisted thinking, and to set us free from the manipulations of Satan. My sermon today is entitled, "Live as Free." Live as free. Live as though you are free. If you are bound by anything today, Jesus is here to set you free. You have been bound long enough, and it's time to let Jesus into your heart and let him fix what is broken inside of you. And if you have already been set free, by your former sins by Jesus, that it's time for you to start acting like it. And it's time for you to start living the freedom that Jesus has given you.
Amen.
Our guiding text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16 says, live as people who are free. Live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Freedom is so often misunderstood and misused. When we are free and set free by Jesus, it gives us unfettered access to our calling in life. Amen. It's not a freedom to do whatever we feel like. It's not a freedom to intrude or violate someone else's freedom. But it is a responsibility to do what is right in the eyes of God. It is the privilege to no longer be bound by sin, spirits of rebellion and deception. It's the freedom to do good instead of being enslaved by our evil impulses. Problems, we talk about slavery and we talk about this, that, but you know, problems don't arise from slavery. Problems arise with people who are free don't know what to do with it.
Amen.
What are you doing with your freedom in Christ today? What are you doing with your freedom as an American citizen? We were laughing at my dad at Feed My Sheep a week or so ago, and he never voted before until he moved to Fairfield. And I said, well, that's what happens when you have a pastor that preaches, if you don't vote, you're going to hell. That's what happens when you have a pastor that preaches that the reason why there's problems in our society is because there's too many Christians sitting on their hands and they don't get up and enjoy their American rights and vote for candidates that will promote Christian values.
Right.
Amen.
What are you doing with your freedom as a human being? Hallelujah. Free people don't go to church just because they're obligated to do so.
That's right.
They do it because they are in love with God.
Amen.
Free people don't live good Christian lives because they are unenlightened and living a fairy tale. They do it because they're shackled by religious regulations. They do it because they have been liberated to realize their full potential.
Amen.
How can I know for sure that I am free? How can I be sure that I'm living as a free person? I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about several telltale signs that someone is living as free in Jesus. You know, when the Jews came out of Egypt, you know what they couldn't do? They couldn't forget their past. Free people are people who forget the past. That's not to say that it's not in the back of their mind or that they completely are brainwashed away from their past. They respect their past. But they are too busy fostering the favor of God in their lives today. And they're too busy spending huge amounts of energy forging a future that God is calling them to sit around crying about their past. How do you know that your living is free? You know that your living is free when your past no longer has a hold over your mind, where your past no longer has a stranglehold on your emotions, where your thoughts are no longer swirling about everything that was, but something is ginning and gelling inside of you, calling you to a better life, and you're too busy enjoying the liberty and the freedom of worship and walking in the grace of God to spend your time worrying about the past anymore. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained this or am already perfect. Is anybody here perfect today? If you think you are, we already know who you are. He said, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. You know, there are sometimes you've got to put some things behind you. There are some lessons that you learn. You don't need to go back to kindergarten and learn your ABCs. You don't need to go back to first grade and learn 1 + 1 and then to your time tip. You know that stuff. It's a part of who you are, and it's the same way in our relationship with God. We've got to grow past the past. We've got to grow beyond the past. We've got to graduate to new levels of spiritual maturity until we are enjoying our lives that God gave us to enjoy. If you can't enjoy your life, then you're still living in the past. And Paul said, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Do you realize that Jesus has provided a miraculous concept that our bodies and our spirits are going to be transformed at His coming, and that we are going to be like angels, Jesus said. They will be like the angels in heaven in the resurrection. Is that not what Jesus said? And He said that we will rule the world with Him. We are going to be living in the kingdom of Christ, having free access to both heaven and earth, being able to transport and travel around like angels, being in the army of God, receiving commands from Him, and carrying out His will on the earth as nations come to Him and stream into Jerusalem as He sits on the throne of David. You're working towards something here. It's not a comfortable retirement. It's not a bigger bank account or a nicer house or car. It's not to get smarter and more intelligent. You are working towards a heavenly calling that Jesus paid for. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. How do I know that I'm free? You know that you're free when people look at you and they wouldn't be able to recognize you if they compare the new you with the old you. But if the new you looks like the old you, you're not all the way free yet. Free people know that their freedom, that they understand that they are free when their old sins no longer have power over them. Well, hallelujah, it's quiet in here today. Well, I don't know if I'm really free. No, you probably aren't all the way free yet. If your old sins are still aggravating you and still hanging on to you, you've still got a few lingering chains that need to be broken off. But at least you're not living at the level of vagrancy that you were before you met Jesus. Can you say that you're better today than you were before you met Jesus? Can you say that you're in a very better place than right now than you were before you met Jesus? If you can't, then you need to come back up to this altar today and get reacquainted with the freedom that the blood of Jesus gives to people who believe in it.
Amen.
You've grown up, put away childish things. Children live for their own selfish comforts and to fulfill their own selfish needs. And they don't have that. The baby cries when it's hungry. It screams when its diaper needs to be changed. It screams and cries when it's lonely if it doesn't get its way. And we're all like that in a lot of ways. But you know that you're free and that you're walking in the liberty of Jesus. And you're living as a free person when you no longer have that selfish nature tormenting you all the time. Hallelujah. Number two, free people live by the Spirit. They are filled with the Spirit, and they keep in step with the Spirit. Free people live by... You know, I put something on Facebook that there's no freer people in the world than Christians. I think sometimes the sad part about it is that Christians don't understand how free they actually are. And they live like they're bound when they're actually free. Amen. And sometimes I think Jesus just needs to come up and smack us upside the head and say, what's wrong with you? The Jews, when they came out of Egypt and they went out into the wilderness, what's the first thing they started doing? They started pining for their old life. We remember the leeks and the onions and the melons and, oh, we remember the smell of the flesh pots and the meat cooking on the stove. And they were pining to go back to slavery. Because they learned to comfort themselves, and they learn to assuage their pain in slavery, and they miss those old comforts. It can be hard to transition sometimes from slavery to liberty, from slavery to freedom, from bondage to deliverance. It can be hard sometimes. And you know that you're making progress when you begin to realize that you are walking in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." I'm still a young man. I'm only 51. Hallelujah, Brother Anthony. I'm still young. I still got it. Hallelujah. Well, I got a part of it anyway. But you understand, when you begin to finally, how many of you can think, I can think back on my life of things that I wrestled with, and there were ideas and beliefs that I had. There were values that somehow had been planted inside of my heart, and they opposed the teachings of the Bible. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said crazy things like rejoice when you're persecuted. How many of you can say that you rejoice when you're persecuted? You got some work to do. It's called walking in the Spirit. Maybe we need to be persecuted a little bit more so we can learn to walk in the Spirit a little more. When Paul and Silas were persecuted, they were whipped and beaten and thrown in prison. They took the teaching of Jesus literally. We're running around pining and whining about everything that's going on and the pressures that are on us at this hour. Paul and Silas had it a whole lot worse than anybody in this building, and maybe everybody in this building put together when it comes to persecution. And they said in the book of Acts, they said in jail, bleeding out of their backs, starving to death, parched and desperately thirsty. And they took the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, literally, and they opened up their mouths at the midnight hour in the midst of the most worst persecution they had ever experienced in their life. And they began to sing praises and glory to God. How could they do that? Because they were winning the battle against the flesh, and they were learning to walk in the Spirit. There's a battle going on in your flesh. That means that there's a chain that needs to be broken. If there's a battle going on in your flesh, it means that there is some learning yet to do and some walking in the Spirit you haven't figured out yet. Some area of your life where you're still acting like a baby. Well, I'm here today to change your diaper. People who are free walk in the Spirit. And when you're walking in the Spirit, it does something different to you. It changes you. Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit more. I need to walk in the Spirit more. And stop giving my flesh so much control. And stop pining to go back to the old prison and the old enslavement that I used to be in. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You'll never go wrong when you're walking in the Spirit. How do I know I'm walking in the Spirit? How's your love? Got a little hate in there? You need to walk in the Spirit. How is your joy? Feel a little hopeless and discouraged? You need to walk in the Spirit a little bit more. How's your peace? Feel a little anxious? You need to walk in the Spirit a little bit more. How long is your fuse these days? Need a little more long-suffering? You need to walk in the Spirit a little bit more. How's your kindness these days? They say poor people got poor ways and rich people got mean ways. Been a little mean lately? Need to work on your kindness a little bit. How's your goodness? How's your faithfulness? A little wishy-washy, not being as consistent as you should be. You need to walk in the Spirit a little bit more. What do you mean you don't feel like going to church today? What do you mean you don't feel like praying today? What do you mean you're tired of reading your Bible? You need to walk in the Spirit a little bit more.
Amen.
How's your gentleness? How's your self-control? And Galatians 5:22 it says, in 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do you do that? Brother Philip, when you don't feel like it and your flesh is telling you you don't need to feel like it, you get up in the pulpit and you lead worship anyway.
Amen.
But Danny, how do you crucify the flesh with its passions and desires when you don't feel like typing up another newsletter article? When you don't feel like looking for another communion devotion? When you don't feel like being the one to have to pour all the wine out and for everybody to drink? You do it anyway. When you don't feel like getting up and reading your Bible, you do it anyway. When you'd rather be doing something else, you do what you know is right to do. You dig into your spiritual disciplines. You get back on track with your Bible reading program. You get yourself up and get yourself dressed. You prepare your clothes on Saturday night and you get yourself in bed so you can get up on Sunday morning with a little pep in your step and ready to get to church.
Amen.
That's how you crucify the flesh. You do what's right when you don't feel like it. We're so crazy. We're so irrational. We're so inconsistent in the way that we think and we live. Because we take God and we take the Bible and we take church and we put it over here somewhere on the back pew. And then we live our little happy lives and we run through our week and our days doing everything we want to do and everything we think is important. And we leave God on the back burner of our lives. But buddy, when it's time to get to work soon at 4 o'clock in the morning, I guarantee you he or his little feet padding through the house and out the door he goes. Does he want to get up and be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning? Brother Cal, no sir, he does not. Hallelujah. When it's time to cook the supper, it's time to wash the dishes, you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. When you got to go to the doctor tells you he's going to give you a shot or a test and medication. Tells you, doctor, you go to the doctor says, strip your clothes down. But you strip your clothes down, you do what you're told. We are so irrational. We do all of our lives, and then when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to God, we're like, well, I don't know if I should go to church today. Well, I don't know if I should make time. I'm so busy. I don't know if I have time for God. It's time to stop living like you're still in Egypt. It's time to stop living like you've never been touched by the blood of Jesus. It's time to stop living like you've never heard the chains clank and the key click in the lock when Jesus set you free and forgave you of your sin. It's time to start living like you're free. Amen. Free people know they cannot serve two masters. And so they crucify the flesh with the passions in it, and they let the Spirit of God have free reign. And it says in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm still learning, Sister Carrie, how to keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the Lord's going slower than I want to go. Sometimes He's going a whole lot faster than I want to go. Sometimes He's going places I don't want to go. Sometimes He won't go where I want to.
That's right.
And number three, free people use their freedom to serve. When I was praying about, I know this is kind of a hodgepodge message today, but I believe that we're focusing in on the thing that is important. And the Lord was speaking to me about the hard and stony hearts inside of us. And the prophet said there's going to come a day where God's going to remove the hard and stony heart out of you and put inside of you a heart of flesh. A free person is a person who uses their freedom to serve. You can't do that when you've got a hard heart. Because when you've got a hard heart, you don't want to say, I forgive you. You don't want to say, I'm sorry. You don't want to put other people's priorities before yours. The people who are free use their freedom to serve. God has taken their hard, stony heart, pulverized, full of rocks and pieces, and dusted it all out, and put in there a heart of flesh, a beating heart, a heart that heals itself, a heart that pumps and beats every day. And they go out there and they love the world around them to God. They carry on the ministry of Jesus. And they don't have to meet their own needs, because as they go and do the work of God, they find that all these things are added to them. They find that when they go out and give themselves in service to the kingdom of God, meaning that you help the people around you as the opportunity presents itself, they find that they're happier than they've ever been in their lives. If you're not feeling happy, then you need to start living like you're free and start serving some people. Is it off?
Yeah.
What's her name? Give it another round. Hallelujah. When it goes off, that means that the preacher is preaching long. God takes the stony heart out and He puts the heart of flesh inside of us. And this new heart regulates a connection between heaven and the earth, between the supernatural and the carnal. And inside of us, this heart is beating, and we've got God moving around us, and we've got the world crumbling in violence and craziness all around us, but we've got a heart beating inside of us, and we go out and we minister, and we go out and we touch, and we go out and we love, and we go out and we give, and we go out and serve. And somehow, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there is the individual that withholds more than they should, and it tends to poverty. If you're not serving, you're not free. You're bound by your own personal selfish desires. You're right back where you were before Jesus found you. But when you're serving, you're doing it because you've got all you need. You're serving because you've got plenty. You're serving because it's your choice. You're serving because you can. And you find out when you're free and you serve that the more you do it, the more God pours back into your life. And our scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, our guiding text today, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as the servants of God. Living as the servants of God. It's not okay to go from living in open rebellion to secret rebellion. The prophet said, God spoke to the prophet, He said in the Old Testament, these people have set up idols in their hearts. They're going through all the motions and they're looking all good and they're going through all the rituals and they're being all religious, but they've got idols in their hearts. People who are free serve God. Amen. And they don't live their freedom to be drawn back into their old slavery. It's not some limbo place where Jesus sets you free and you're... And there is a little limbo place. I remember when the first time you repent of your sins. How many of you remember, Anthony? Remember that limbo place?
Yeah.
Brother Anthony came here. He was bound up tight. Came here, I don't know, it was like Sunday night or something like that. Just, you know, I've seen some of those amazing conversions take place, and it's not even a church service. But he was ready. He was tired of living the old way. Came down here, walked in this place, You can see a 200-pound gorilla on his back. When he walked out of this building, he was just like,
"I'm flying, man."
Wow. Every time the Lord touches you, amen, when the Lord gets done touching you and encouraging you, and you're just like, wow. But freedom is not a limbo place. Freedom releases you to do the things that you could not do when you were bound. There's no kind of love that you'll ever experience and that can be fabricated in this world than a love that you will experience when you are free in Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody loves you more than God.
Amen.
Your mama don't love you more than God.
Right.
Your daddy don't love you more than God. Your husband, your spouse, your wife, they don't love you more than God. Your children don't love you more than God. And you don't love your children more than God loves you.
Amen.
There is a power and a freedom in that love. Freedom from fear. Freedom from the spirit of and the fear of being condemned eternally. I want us to stand together today. And I want to ask you a question. Are you free? Are you living like you're free? Are you struggling with what to do with your freedom? Are you being tempted to fall back into your old ways? Are you glorifying your past sins? Or are you walking in the Spirit, forgetting those things that are behind you, pressing towards those things that are before you? And are you actively serving in God's kingdom? Hallelujah. Well, how many of you got the message today?
Amen.
It's time to get back to living like you're free.
Yes.
It's time to get to living like when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. If He says go, see if they'll let you go into prison to teach a Bible study, you do it. If He tells you to open up a soup kitchen and everybody looks at you crossways, you do it.
Amen.
If somebody tells us to God tell Brother Dan to jump up and down and stick his hand in the fan, you do it. Why? Because you're free. You're walking in the Spirit. And sometimes, Brother Philip, God does tell us to do things that may seem to us to just be completely insane. Freedom is not being afraid to do whatever God tells you. Let's live as we're free today. If you want to come up and pray, you might. If you want to stay at your pew and pray, you can. And I want to encourage you to get in contact with God today. Don't leave this building until you have been assured of your position with God. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Jesus, oh Lord, we know that You've come here.